25-2017, RLRD.
Let's stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll start with the approval of, actually, we have two meeting minutes. Meeting of our last meeting a month ago. Do we have any comments or actions, updates?
For January?
For the January meeting, that's right. I wasn't sure. Ooh, do I have a copy of that right here? It's not in our package.
Nope.
Was that, I had asked about the budget or, as opposed to unbudgeted? The extra $108,000 reserve fund to cover unbudgeted expenses,
okay.
I think. The issue I was just raising is if you have the copy of the minutes under treasurer's report, it's just a small thing, but where it says that we authorized Bill to withdraw $108,000 from the reserve fund to cover the, it says budgeted expenses, but it seems to me it might be unbudgeted expenses. We wouldn't normally draw from the reserve fund for budget expenses. Mm-hmm.
But wasn't that part of the work done on the dam?
It was, but
which
it was
not
part
of the original budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob?
Be unbudgeted.
Yeah.
Just a clarification of Bill's report from last meeting. I don't know whether you have the minutes in front of you. Do you have them there?
No, I can pull them up, though. But I know I read them last night. I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, it just seemed as if the word really was unbudgeted expenses as opposed to budgeted expenses. It's a small thing, but for posterity's sake.
I think it's over budget expenses.
Right. That's why I mean by unbudgeted expenses. Yeah. So it was not in our budget. So with everyone's permission, let's add that word unbudgeted to the minutes. It's not going to make a difference in the whole scheme of things, but somebody reading that in the future may wonder. Are there any other changes or additions?
The second page, the DAC licensing, I only really had to abstain from Tipkowski.
Okay.
I had to abstain from both of them.
Okay.
I mean, it's minor, but.
All right.
Okay.
However you want to. Thank you. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes then as changed.
I'll make that motion.
All right. Debbie moves. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to assume it's unanimous. We also have a very short meeting, a special meeting that was conducted on February 2, primarily for executive session purposes, but we did do a little business there. You should have received those minutes recently, and as you look those over, there were several motions made there. Any change at all in addition to those special meeting minutes on February 2? Hearing none, motion please. To approve?
So moved.
All right, second?
I'll second it.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, it's unanimous, thank you. Let me just mention a couple of announcements. Again, there's nowhere in our meeting today that we're taking any action on things, but thought I would just update everybody about several things that have happened. There has been, I'll mention this a little later on, the Environmental Committee did meet, but as a result of that meeting, Jim Pomeroy, who's a member of that committee, and I met with Ryan Paulson at the Department of Soils and Water Conservation, and with whom we've been working relative to making plans for our changes down at the at Balcom Beach this spring, specifically changes relative to a I'll call it a mid-level wash station. We did talk about that, but we also had a larger discussion about watershed management, trying to enlist the help of that department for assistance in, we realize that the 62 or 61 square mile watershed flows into our lake, and a lot of any pollutants that would come into the lake come that way, come from, you know, runoff from farms, from other places. So what we're trying to do is ensure that we are on top of that. And although I don't know that we can say we came out with a grand plan about how to do that, but we do kind of pledge to work more closely together. There are a number of projects which that department is working with some of the larger farmers in the area, and we were just looking for some way to entree our involvement in those farmers' lives without our kind of walking up to a farmer and knocking on the door and saying, hey, can we talk with you about your runoff into our lake? And so we're in the process of working on that. I wanted everybody to understand that we're not oblivious to the watershed issues. We also...
It would be nice if we could find a way that people wouldn't be throwing their garbage in the lake.
Yeah, like refrigerators.
Refrigerator,
yeah.
And an old rusty propane tank went down yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. Secondly, that we do have a meeting, just publicly acknowledging we have a meeting scheduled with Senator Young. We've been trying to get that meeting for months, and we finally are able to coordinate everybody's schedule. We also have a meeting this week with Municipal Solutions. Jeff Smith directs that consulting group out of Leroy and Canandaigua, and they're going to be helping us continue to think about how to manage the finances for getting this dam repaired. It is a continual problem for us. We're trying to raise the funds, we're trying to get grants, and trying to find ways to finance things, and we are meeting with him. He has some ideas, and if any of you know Jeff, you know that he has worked with the towns, with Canandaigua and others to make big projects manageable, and breaking them down into slots and ways we can finance parts of it. So ultimately, we do have plan probably this week we'll be meeting with Municipal Solutions.
Verify the date?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll have the three. We'll talk about after this meeting. Don't get away. We'll need to. We have several meetings, and we have a little lack of consensus about what day it ought to be, so we've got to kind of figure out what day we can tell Jeff we want to meet. And finally, I just want to mention that you know, Chad has been working on what we have been calling the sheriff's dock down by the swimming hole down there, and he rebuilt that in the fall and has now completed it by putting a railing on the south side?
South side.
On the south side of the dock to prevent folks from coming in there. The purpose of the dock is to allow you know, folks on the lake to be able to deliver their kids if they wanted to swim, but it's not a docking place. It's not a permanent docking. You're not going to tie up there for 3 hours while you're swimming. And our hope is that people will come and go and make that a more functional, usable area, so you don't have to have to drive your car to drop the kids off at the swimming hole. So that we think is a plus for the lake owners. Well, those are just a few things. Again, we have no business associated with that, but wanted just to alert that. I can't think of anything else. Is there any other announcement anybody wants to make, or anything that people should know, other than that Bob and Bill are in Florida? Okay. Let me just say one more thing here, although Bob, maybe you're going to mention this when we talk about the dam, but you know, this is a very warm and somewhat snow-free winter, and we know that there are people who have concerns about the water lake levels, and I'll just mention that we are very sensitive to a wide variety of people who have interest in that water being up at the end of the season. We also have interest in making sure that everyone's docks are still there at the end of the season. So we're tiptoeing around we're higher than normal. We're trying to hold the lake somewhere around 1420. We get into trouble with docks and ice when we get to 1424. And just to be aware, because I know some of you have either called the office or talked with us, particularly Bob, relative to, you know, not letting more water out of the lake. I'm sure the dam is now somewhat leaking because of all this rain. It's going to be that way for a few days. We are trying to delicately manage the levels of the lake.
Is the ice off the lake?
I guess so. Just I've driven by and I've seen none on there. Doesn't mean that in the next month and a half it wouldn't refreeze. And as we all know,
some in the big area.
Yeah, just some.
And as we all know, the lower the water can be when the ice freezes, the less damage it's going to do to the dam. So we're trying to attend to all the constituencies' issues. I'll just mention, maybe Bob, you're going to say this as well. Sorry to steal your thunder, your report. But there have been opportunities when we have wanted to, on rainy days like this, wanted to drain the lake and let the water out. But downstream, they're saying, no, you can't do that. We have too much flooding down here. You can't let any more water out of the dam. That becomes a real problem if we have ice on the lake and we have water coming into the lake and we can't let water out. And so you can see the dilemma. So we're trying to work with other groups down the river. It doesn't happen often, but there are times when they just simply say, no, we can't handle more water here. Keep the dam closed. Meanwhile, the water level goes up, ice level goes up, and we have problems. So we recognize that not everybody understands all the nuances of this, but we do have, I guess we'd call them professional and very experienced dam operators who are trying their very best to serve us. So I just wanted to make that point. I know some people are concerned about it. All right, without any further announcements, let's move on. And any town reports, there is a printed town report from what's your name?
Deb.
Good old what's her name?
What's her name? I do not have a written report this month, but I did talk with Phil Stockin prior to his meeting and kind of filled him in on several things that are reflected in her report to Rushford. But this is not a time of the year when we have usually a lot of things to report in terms of business. Bill is out of town, and Missy has very nicely provided as the assistant kind of backup treasurer. Missy, is there anything you want to highlight? We can just the normal sheets are here, disbursements and expenses. And I think the sheet has been going around here. I just haven't seen it yet. Okay, I'll sign it as time goes on. Are there any questions as you glance through it that you'd like to raise? I just mentioned maybe one more going back. There are no questions about that, but going backwards to say that we did send a letter to Thomas Johnson, Inc., the contractor who worked on the dam for us for several months this fall. Just a note of appreciation for their working with us under difficult circumstances. It is a bear to work down there in the wind and the cold and the ice and the snow, trying to point up all those bricks. But we're happy that they were able to complete it by Christmas time. But a letter has gone out, as I was both directed and volunteered to do in our last meeting. All right, Bob, are there other things that you would like to share with us relative to the dam? You've been in touch with folks. I guess maybe I've mentioned several things that you would have said.
That's all right. You did a good job. I have a few things, Mr. Chairman. To finish what you were saying about the ice, we had a situation in January where we had a very heavy rain, and we had a little snow, and we had the exact situation you were talking about, where Genesee River was flooding, and communities below us were flooding, and we were not allowed to drain any water. The lake came up 11 feet overnight, an amazing amount of water. Now, if we were at the height we're at right now, the lake right now, at least as of yesterday, was 1422.5, which means we are 2.5 feet up on the spill gates. If we had had that happen at that time, if that happened right now and we gained even 5 or 6 feet of water overnight, we would wipe out a lot of docks. So it's a real balancing act to keep the lake as full as we can. But I also had another concern, and the reason I was holding it back a little longer is if you do the math, we finished at the dam, we finished our mortar work on December 23rd. And so 25 feet down would have been done around December 15th. And if you remember, we laid up brick and mortar, but then we poured concrete in behind those bricks. Mm-hmm. So that concrete has had a little over 60 days to cure before we now have ice up against it. We're now 7 feet up on our new work. So we also have to be aware of that.
Right.
That it isn't just the docks, it's the dam that takes a beating. Now, right now, the ice is melting, and maybe it'll stay off. That would be nice. But the lake also refreezes. It's pretty early in the year yet. And how does that affect us? Water gets in behind the brick. We got the water up high. The water gets behind there and then freezes, and that's what pops the brick out. So we got a lot of balancing things to do, as Darrell has said, to keep track of this. Right now, I told the boys to hold the lake between 1421 and 1424. That gives us 3 or 4 feet before we take out any dock. That's not a lot. That's really watching things pretty close. Darrell did a good job explaining that. I have talked to Paul Johnson from Thomas & Johnson about continuing our work with the mortar next fall, and told him that we are going to drop the lake October 2nd next year, another early drawdown, and confirmed with him that their company is willing to work with us time and material as they did on the repair. And they're interested in it. They will work with us. And so that is a big plus for us. And let me tell you why. There's no way to bid that. It is a lot of what we're going to do is starting at 25 feet down. Nobody has seen that, including me. I had hoped to see it last fall, but we had to hold the lake up in order to get the scaffolding out and the party boats out. And as it is, we got froze in. So we had ice and not heavy enough to go out on it. But now, and so afterwards we dropped the lake. You couldn't get there on the ice to see below the 25-foot mark for what work has to be done. And you couldn't get there by water. And now, in the spring, the water's back up to 20 above it. So we can't see it. So what that means is when we bid this, a contractor is going to do some math and say, you know, I can't take any chance on this. So he's going to figure 90% of the area will have to be done. Well, maybe only 30% of the area has to be done. We don't believe 90% of the next part we're going to do needs the mortar taken out and replaced. But they will bid it that way because they have to protect themselves. You can't see it, you don't know. So to do it time and material is a big plus for us, because that way we're only paying for what we're getting, and it allows us to say, okay, stop. In other words, if we bid this and would easily come in at $200,000 to $250,000, we can say to the contractor, we've got $75,000 budgeted. That'll give us a couple of months worth of work, and then we stop after that. And if we find a surprise, the board can deal with it like we did last time. But it gives us the option to control it and do it year by year rather than to pay for something that we're not getting, because we don't even know what they should have bid, so how do they know? So that's a real big plus. Paul Johnson is committed to work with us time and material, so
okay.
That's a real help for us.
Okay.
I did tell him that the board has not settled on any figures or what we're going to do, but just to make sure he was willing to work with us and that that we probably will go forward. The electric bills this winter have been normal, so apparently we have our heater problems taken care of. We were curious once we turned everything on, but it's been going very well. We do have ongoing problems with our security system and our reporting system of the height of the water. I've been on the phone with Adams, which is our company that records this and calls us. Dennis and Tommy have been down there. We've had Verizon in there for about 2 hours inside the building. They tore things apart and did some rewiring. And that's one of the bills from Verizon that we paid. If it's in the building, we pay. If it's outside, they pay. We did find some splices outside that could be a source of problem when it rains. And supposedly the Verizon repairman has put in to have those repaired. Some of them are on a pole. So, but as of today, it is not working again. Boys are down there looking at it. So we'll keep at it. But it seems to be a source of problem. And we believe most of it is Verizon line.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. Any else?
I think that's it, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. Good. Thank you, Bob, for continuing to be a liaison with the dam folks, even though you're 1,000 miles away, several thousand. Appreciate it. All right. Let's move on. Chad, help us through very quickly our consent items.
We have Ralph Kerr, Ron Kuhn, Bob Ferentino, and we have one we're adding, which is Joseph Glonia. He's at 8156 Lakeshore Drive. These are all consent items.
Okay. They're listed there, brick walls, yep. License issues, hoist, and so forth, the reasons for their applications.
Yeah, they all understand some of them will need a permit from building inspector. Ralph Kerr is going to need one
DEC?
From DEC, which he's in the process of doing right now. So, but like I said, these are all consent items.
All right. Any questions about any of those? And by the way, the last name of the person you added, I didn't get.
Glonia. G-L-O-W.
What's the address? 8156 Lakeshore.
Glonia?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these have been inspected. You guys have been out?
Yes.
Okay. All right. In favor of the consent items as presented, the four of them, please say aye.
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 Opposed, no?
I have to abstain on Ferentino's only, but the rest I agree on.
Okay. Quickly going down some of the committee reports. We've just heard the relative to the dam. Communication, there's probably nothing to say other than we do expect, again, in April, a publication for our newsletter. The Environmental Committee met on February 8th. Four of us were there and had a chance to talk specifically about Ed Kwidniewski's report. We keep waiting for the more extensive scientific report. Some of you know Jim Pomeroy, worked for many years for DEC, very interested in this kind of a thing, and he probably, as much as anybody on our committee, is interested in the very, very minute details of things that were raised by Ed. Although we have no recommendation for this group, I'll just mention that clearly what keeps popping or surfacing relative to most biggest concern. It was the biggest concern in that total watershed survey that he did a couple of years ago. It's a concern that keeps coming up with other people we speak with, and has relative to do with potential seepage of septics. If there's something which is a problem, it's hard to get a handle on this, as we know. Some people have outdated septics. They use them for 3 months a year, and then they ignore them the rest of the time, and they build up. They never have them pumped, and we all know. So trying to figure out a way to get on top of the septic seepage issue is something which Ed was quite adamant about, and we need to do something about that. But we're not ready yet to make a recommendation. We're still waiting again for the other part of his report, which is probably several hundred pages. So that's what I guess I can report from the Environmental Committee. And I mentioned that Jim and I went to speak with Water and Soils and continue that dialogue. Is there anything from the Finance Committee?
Not really. We've kept it, everyone's gone, so we keep in touch, just email. And
okay.
I would just like to bring up something about the foundation, even though it isn't directly involved with
right.
the lake. I received a cash donation, so I had to go over to the office and physically hand them the cash. It was the easiest way to do it, you remember.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how wonderful that staff is.
What staff are we talking about?
Of the Cattaraugus County, or Cattaraugus Area Foundation.
Okay.
And I just think they're doing a marvelous job, and it was very nice of them to take on our issue
yeah.
when our own county foundation found we didn't fit within their parameters.
Right.
So they are to be commended.
Just as a reminder that to create our foundation relative to the dam and the repairs there, we are working under the umbrella mm-hmm. of the Cattaraugus, I'm not sure
it's
the title.
It's Cattaraugus Area.
Cattaraugus County Regional Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So they are the ones who have kind of
yeah.
helped us with that mm-hmm. creation. All right, good. Thank you for that report. Rules Committee met on the 2nd. Is there anything you'd like to report, Jenny? Anything that comes to us from them?
Well, we had some legal issues that naturally we had about. We do need to set a date for the next ones. And one of their biggest issues is the ballast boats
yep.
that we're trying to hopefully get in contact with the owners of them and work with them.
Let me just mention that I have called for in the fall newsletter anybody who owned any of the ballast boats, if you're familiar with the term, that have been, some of them have been creating some havoc on the lake with some kayakers and canoeists and so forth, and we're trying to arrange a meeting among at least a good handful of those folks who can help us figure out what we need to do to keep people secure and safe on the lake at all hours and all times. And so we have several names. If any of you out here are owners, if you know of somebody, and please see me before we leave today. I'd like to expand my list and establish a meeting time with those folks. The several names that I have are relatively local in the sense that they're Western New Yorkers, so they're not coming from way out of state. And we'd like to have a chance for them to have some input to this and to understand what our concerns are. I'll leave it at that. There are no other legal issues, I think. We have a couple of ongoing things that seem to be
Did you want to set a meeting for the
dormant? Oh, yes, we want to come back to rules. Sorry. Setting a meeting for rules. Can we do that, please?
Wednesdays, Thursdays, that's good for people.
Thursdays are better.
Thursdays are better for me.
Okay. 9th, 16th, or the 23rd?
I will not be here the 23rd.
Okay, so that eliminates that one.
Why don't we do it the 9th?
9th, okay.
Yeah.
March.
9th. Does it work, Daryl?
Uh, It is a problem for me. I have a trip planned for New Jersey, leaving that morning.
About the 16th?
16th would be okay. Does that work? Okay, let's make it on the 16th.
6:30?
Yep, 6:30. Unless, of course, for some reason we need to have, you know, another special meeting, and then we have to change those times around a little bit. But generally speaking,
we start
with that. Yeah, right. 6:30, March the 16th, Rules Committee.
Will that work for you, Bob?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Good. And again, nothing to report relative to legal issues. I have been in touch with Joe about several of these things, and we have some of them kind of hanging, but we will probably be having one of these issues come to us in our next meeting. All right, let's move into old business, and then ultimately, of course, new. I asked for putting the Balcom Beach food trailer truck issue on our schedule here so we could have some kind of open discussion. It's also something that maybe would be appropriate for the Rules Committee, but I hate to wait another 3 weeks. Time is of the essence if we are going to move ahead to do something. And the issue is this. Back in the 1980s, not long after we were, is that the word, incorporated or created anyway? There was a resolution that basically banned any commercial activity, and that included things like food vendors and so forth from any lands owned by this group, the district. I've actually found it in two different resolutions. One, it was the only resolution, that is, it was targeted at that. And the second one was, it was just one among several different issues, 1984 resolution. We've talked with Joe about how to move forward. And he has responded to us with some cautions, specifically because it potentially can open a can of worms. How do we, for example, make a distinction if three people ask us to open a food truck down on Balcom Beach next summer? How do we make that distinction between who gets it and who doesn't? Do all three have an opportunity to set up next to each other? Do we want to do that? Apparently it was the wisdom of folks in 1984 that this would not be a good thing. We all know that times change, culture changes, the demands of people on the lake, and it was the thinking of this group that there could be some benefit to allowing somebody to have some food down on Balcom Beach. And the one plan had been Thursday through Sunday from basically the 1st of June through roughly the 1st of September. And the individual we've been talking with who would like to do this would be totally self-contained. He'd bring in his water. He'd take all of his water out and dump it. So there really seemed to be no ecological concerns or issues. Seems like a simple thing, like, we'll just do this. But
I know that after reading the resolution,
we run into issues like, and Joe was suggesting that we be very careful in creating an application process, that we have very clear criteria about what people must have in terms of insurance and other permits and licenses to be food vendors. So what seems to be a simple issue quickly turns complicated. I'll leave it open initially here for any comments that you want to have. We have had conversations with this in the Rules Committee, but I wanted all of us to have, in a public setting like this, to be heard. And I'm also going to ask anybody who happens to be out here in our gallery today whether or not you have any response to this. Is this a good thing? Should we do a public forum on this? Should we invite the public to have input to such a thing? Is it that big a deal? And I probably should add one more thing, because a lot of people would be concerned, like, holy cow, that means a lot of people are pulling up to the launch, walking over, getting a sandwich, sitting there on a picnic table eating, and meanwhile their boat is kind of blocking and in the way. And well, we think we have that problem potentially solved in that we have another dock that could be placed somewhere near the sheriff's dock over on that side, if you know where that is, that could be exclusively for somebody pulling up and debarking, disembarking, and coming over for something to eat. So I think we have that particular problem solved, or we could anyway. What feedback, first of all, does this table have? Do you have more pause as a result of Joe's email to us? Is this something which simply needs more study by the Rules Committee and be more specific? As he says, he's willing to work with us, but he wanted us to be aware that there are issues that are beyond our little pea brain minds to be able to think of.
Darryl?
Yes.
Although I appreciate Joe playing devil's advocate, I don't know how the resolution holds any water, because we have always had restaurants on the lake of some sort. Way back into the 70s and maybe even the 60s, Dell's and Donna's were there at that time. And then Hank, I'm sorry, I can't think of Hank's last name. His family took it over and operated a marina and a snack bar there at the same time and sold gas. At the same time, we had R&K Marine. We have Bob Weed operating out of that position right now. I mean, to say we have a resolution that there's no businesses allowed on Rushford Lake, and then we've always had businesses on Rushford Lake, makes no sense to me.
Do we have, is there a place on the lake now where somebody can pull up in their boat and get some food?
No.
It hasn't been in the last number of years.
Okay.
But what my point is, at the time they wrote the resolution, we had food service on the lake.
At the same
location where Bob Weed is.
Bob, do you remember when Dell and Donna finally left? I was trying to figure that out last night, and I couldn't come up with a year.
No, I can't. I can't. It was. They would have left in the late 70s. I think they got to the age where it was too much. And that's when Hank took over. Hank was there late 70s into maybe early 90s.
Were there issues, perhaps, that raised the specter for why they would want to create the 1984 resolution saying, no, we don't want to have this anymore? Wait a minute. Bob, go ahead. And then
Here's where I think it came from. And around that time is when Penfold decided he wanted to build a restaurant, which the board and even the public was in agreement with. Unfortunately, he put these big concrete pillars 150 feet out into the lake to build the restaurant over the water. And so that's where the rub came. They went into legal battles for a number of years, and finally the judge had them taken out to send him the bill. But I think during that battle is when they came up with this resolution. Do we really want to say that? One of the number one things that we're asked for around the lake, if you talk to people on, when are you going to get a restaurant? When do people want a restaurant? A large majority. So if we keep a resolution that says you can't have any businesses, to me the hot dog stand is minor. There's almost no impact on the lake except maybe positive. Place for kids to get ice cream and things. I think we need to, I agree with Joe, we need to be careful. We need to lay it out with the right language so that we can deal with the wrong kinds of things. But I don't think we want a blanket thing that somebody comes along and wants to build a beautiful restaurant in an area where it all fits and the public likes it, and we got a resolution that says you can't.
Yes.
I'm in agreement that everybody on the lake would love a restaurant. That's a no-brainer. However, putting him at Belcombe Beach, the traffic, I'm not so sure. I wish there was a way we could do this as an experiment,
I don't see why you couldn't do it for a year.
Well, there is. So that would be my thinking that.
Try it as an experiment.
We're not going to do it here again.
Right.
The one plan, as we walked around, Chad, I think it was you and Bob maybe, walked around thinking, as you go into the gate area now of Balcom Beach, which is always open, as we know, you know, there's a big grassy flat area over to the right. That would make sense to put it right there, and therefore
right.
the dock right there.
Exactly.
And since we are going to be moving over the our little shed, our shack, across the road to the left, so it'll be further, not centered as you drive into that area. It makes sense that could be where it is. Is there a possibility, you suppose, of doing something temporarily that we simply allow it to happen during the 2017 season?
A 1-year lease deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not sure it would be a lease, but a one-year experiment, and not for all time. Joe says here. He says once these details are worked out, he's referring to the application, making sure people have insurance and all that. He says then we should prepare a formal resolution. Maybe hold a public hearing before the resolution is adopted.
I don't know that we want to
make it
do all that
if we pull it the following year.
Our thought would be let's try it as an experiment. Let's see how it would. Let's monitor the traffic. Mm-hmm. Let's see what impact it has on boats coming in and out. How much traffic it comes, you know, boat traffic we have trying to dock. You know, you also don't want 20 boats out there waiting
yeah.
to get to a dock
yeah.
because
that makes an issue.
You know, that
yeah.
makes an issue too. So
and we don't know if that is likely to happen. 20
exactly.
boats.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
may
things
be
things can come up that we don't even
right
about,
right.
right
exactly.
You know, compare it to the chicken barbecue because we really don't have an issue
yeah,
during that
yeah,
time.
No,
and
we
that's,
don't.
And that's a lot more traffic
mm-hmm.
during
yeah.
chicken
right,
barbecue
yeah.
than there
right.
is. So we don't have an extra dock, so
right.
people will.
Right.
You know, have common sense of pulling the outside of the launch, mm-hmm. grab your stuff and take off. So.
Let me ask the rest of you, do you have any input for us?
Would there be a benefit to the district? Are we going to be collecting some kind of fees for them to
What's
do this? So that it, between that and the sales tax that it might possibly generate, if they're going to
The person who was interested in doing this said he would pay all the electricity on the at Balcom Beach for the season, which you know, lights.
Yeah, but that's not really, that's only.
No,
that's
right. It's minimal, that's
right.
true.
So what about, like if you go to an event, they have a vendor fee. When people come in with their carts, you pay them a fee, they have to provide their documentation from the health department that shows they can be there.
Are you thinking 2% for every burger that gets sold, that kind of a thing, or?
No, I'm not sure. That would actually be something you'd have to really look into how different places collect the money. But yeah, definitely, we should, for all the work that it's creating, I think you should be getting some money. I mean, we need money.
We do. But it's not our.
Get it from this
no, I guess say it's not our
well,
intent.
No, it's not enough, but every little bit.
I think it's this is more in the realm of trying to enhance the lake and trying to make things better for folk rather
but
than.
What's it going to do to Balcom Beach? I mean, that.
Say again.
You're going to run into that with some of the Balcom Beach residents is that now you're increasing traffic. So, you know, you've got, or the people who this is parked in front of.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure in relation to where you're putting it.
Yeah.
It's actually district property. It's on the far side
right.
of the
Inner Bay.
The okay. Inner Bay.
The Inner Bay.
Within Will, it's actually
one
in Willow Bay.
Scott.
Well, put one at both ends of the lake, do one at the public beach, update the outhouse,
and have
part of the building, you lease that building for the space, whoever bids on it, let them run their business. You have one dock coming in, you have public parking, everything's there.
Interesting idea. I don't think we've considered that, but
you could even do a food truck there also, and you have plenty of parking. You have, you know, public access.
Well, at this point, we're talking to one person who has
right.
approached us, and
but
so.
But I'm sure there's other businessmen out there.
But we would agree, probably, that it would be good to start if we were going to start at all
if
with
you're
one.
Look at one, you know,
yeah.
one area. It's
see how one goes first.
Tim, you want to say something?
I would just think there should be some financial compensation to the district if we're providing the avenue for this guy to make money.
Right.
For us not to get anything.
It's certainly good. It's important for us to do that. Yeah, and we haven't gotten to that level of the weeds yet in terms of we're just trying to should we do this at all? Should there be food? Is there going to be, for example, floating cans in the lake because of this? Are there going to be, you know, bags thrown over?
People who still take care of the lake in general, I would say, I would think there would be. Most people, I think, are pretty respectful of the lake.
Yeah, well, we would hope that's the case.
Cuba has Carthage, which is along the lines, a little bit bigger than what you're talking. I don't think they have any problems. Actually, I've been over there a couple of times. It seems enjoyable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done that on Canandaigua Lake. Mm-hmm. They have nice restaurants there. All right, well, what would you have us do? Do you want me to continue to talk with Joe? He was just asking us to brainstorm more about this to make sure we all were in agreement and that these things are probably overcomable, especially, I think, if we were to say, I don't know exactly how this would look in terms of our current resolutions, we're going to bracket this for a year. We're going to revisit it again a year from now and see how it's gone. If it was a disaster, you know, we'll have to pull the plug on that. Does that seem to be the direction that people are wanting to go? I'm seeing a lot of heads, Bob. You can't see them, but a lot of heads are nodding yes. That seems to be a direction.
I'm in agreement with the nodding heads.
Nobby heads or no? Nodding heads. Okay.
I think we do it on an experimental basis for one season and see how it works.
Nod it or see how it works.
I mean, it could be a total flop. It could be a real big success too.
I will talk with Joe. Yeah. Follow up with this, and maybe he'll want to talk to us. At rules committee, mm-hmm. or at least send us something that we can talk mm-hmm. further about, but mm-hmm. So I think we won't take any action on that. Well,
the action is we're going to put it.
I guess we ought to probably have action for the purposes of our minutes and for posterity. So can somebody float?
I will make a motion that Daryl continue talking with Joe Miller about a way of crafting something in writing that, well, I don't know whether it needs to be a resolution.
Maybe be an amendment to it.
That will allow us to go forward with an experiment.
For 1 year.
For 1 year.
One season.
For the 2017 voting season.
Yes.
Yep. Is that clear? Is there a second to that motion?
Seconded.
Before we vote, I'm wondering whether we should couch this a little bit in having Daryl explore this further with Joe. Maybe there are other stumbling blocks that we still haven't talked about, but rather than saying, we're going to do this no matter what.
That's basically what Deb said.
Yeah, just explore. Let's just
explore
with Joe.
All right. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Thank you for that.
The only thing I would point out, Daryl, is we can't drag our feet too long on this because when we're down there in April, moving things and putting in electric, it needs to be done at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is not something we can discuss into the summer and be able to do it.
I agree with that, and I will probably call Joe, have an extended conversation, and we'll share with him what our thinking is and what the will of the group is, and we'll go from there, and I'll be in touch with everybody by email, and we'll let you know the outcome of that. A couple of items of new business that are actually related. all has to do with the end of the lake on which Mary Jo lives, and others, of course. Relative to number one, the issue of where does the lake begin and the creek stop, or the other way around, you know, where does the creek end when you're moving into the lake, and it has implications for wakes and for erosion and boats, as you know, and I know I've done that myself. I've come out of the creek and you're wondering, okay, where's the point at which I can kind of gun it and start across the lake? Is it beyond that buoy that marks that shallow spot? I think it's pretty close to that myself, the one that's always there across from where you are.
There used to be
another buoy
large, no wake zone.
On the other side, closer to the main shore, that says no wake sign, a buoy that's there. Whether it's a DEC buoy, nobody seems to quite know whose buoy it was. It hasn't been there for a while.
And it wasn't far from the Burkhardt property.
Okay, and I don't know where that is, but apparently it's right
there. It's beyond
us,
if you're going towards...
Okay. And so that's one issue. It doesn't seem to me a difficult thing for us to say, you know what, we need to get a buoy there, a no-wake zone buoy that's marked. I don't know what it's going to cost or how do we make that happen, but Chad, are you familiar with this kind of a thing? Do you know where we would find a buoy that says no-wake? I mean, you can buy one online and put it in?
I put all those buoys in last year, so that's...
Okay.
There was one.
Yeah, where did it go?
What's somebody do? Take it?
Well, I don't know.
Did it walk?
If you want to,
I don't know where it
walked. Go ahead, Chad.
I mean, if you guys want to, we can order one. I can install it.
I think that's a simple solution to this particular problem. It's related to the next one, but I think we should try to have that.
I can get a couple of them.
Yeah, whatever, it's not going to be so costly. I don't think that we should not do it.
I wondered, did the DEC come and take it when they took buoys out?
I don't know.
I think so, but I don't know.
All right.
So should we do that?
Yeah, I'm going to say, with a new item of new business, I'll take a motion then to me do that, and then we'll move on.
So I had a buoy. Okay.
Sir, may we have a motion again, just to be sure...
I'll make the motion to purchase the buoy.
Okay.
No wake zone. And have it installed.
One buoy going to do it? Is there a channel there that should be marked?
That's why I think we need an answer.
Let's get two, because we'll have someplace else on the lake that we'll probably use one.
Okay. All right, so the motion is that we purchase two buoys that say no wake zone or no wake, and we'll place them strategically at a place that seems reasonable at the entrance to the lake.
They used to say 5 miles an hour.
Yeah. Right.
So
all right, Bob's made a motion. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, any other discussion? Favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, no? All right, it's 5-0. Okay. Now, relative to that, of course, there's a whole area of silt that's been building up. I agree, we probably should have some on-site look and see. It's getting very, very shallow. I don't know if any boats have hit some of that and complained. Has anybody received any complaints that, you know, my prop is ruined because it's so shallow there? I don't know whether you have...
People hit it because they stir the mud all up.
The mud comes out like crazy.
Yeah. You know where you are.
Yeah. And here's the bigger issue then. It has to do with dredging of that area. Don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean a bulldozer gets down in there, just pushes it over into the lake further? Does it mean you've got to somehow carefully remove all that stuff and truck it away and dump it? I'm not sure what we mean by dredging at this point.
What did they do with the other end?
They removed it.
They removed it.
They removed it.
Under the bridge. Yeah.
Well, we need an answer.
That's an issue on that end too, but we probably don't want to deal with both at the same time because of cost, but... Yeah. They did partially, took some of it out, and the rest they pushed into the deeper part of the lake.
Yeah. Really all we need would be a DEC permit. I mean, there's many contractors that do that around the area. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just one of those things where...
What would we estimate? Something like this, of course, we don't know how large of an area. That's why we need to probably go down there and have a look while the water's out.
You got to figure out what area you're talking about, then we can get a contractor down there who gives an idea of the cost. Then with the DEC, DEC would have no problem with the dredging.
You'd want to do it when it's frozen, too.
Well, yeah, perhaps so. Well, what do you want to do with this? Do we want to leave it as it open? Let's just go have a look. In our next meeting, we make some decisions. We obviously can't make decisions.
Might as well have the dock committee. You want to have the dock committee go down?
Yes. Let's put that on your schedule. And I'd like to go down and see it separately. Today's a bit nasty. I was thinking we'd go down afterward, but...
Well, it's raining right now.
It's boring.
Where on the lake are you in reference to, Daryl?
You know where the entrance to the creek is, on the other end of the lake from where you are.
Yeah.
And you're going to travel back in there, you need to stay left. It's deeper around there. It's very shallow out of there. And that continues to fill up And be a hazard, yeah. All the silt flowing out of the creek just piles up there. And it would certainly be a boon for the folks who live in that area, but also for anybody who's going back into the creek area. Should we leave it then without a motion? And we're going to just explore this, maybe a declaration in the minutes that we've had discussion relative to dredging of the Rushford Glen Bay Area region. We will explore the possibilities of dredging further. All right, having said that, we've had a fairly light agenda this morning. Are there any other... I'll just throw it open to anybody else who wants to make any other comment before we leave. Yes, sir.
Okay. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Charlie Bliss. I'm on the town board. Mm-hmm. I'm also an engineer. So I've talked to some of the board members about how my concern is the dam and the operations. Talked to some of the board members and other people, and I got a lot of different answers about how often the bells were being used and whatever. I've lived here all my life, so I've been familiar with the lake for over 60 years. Used to be that the lake fluctuated, 4 to 6 to 8 inches with rainstorms and things like that. And I know now, because Scott complains that people call him, if the water level's up 1 inch or 2 inches, he gets phone calls, the docks are flooded, and everything else. The valves that are on the dam, if you look at all the literature, it says for the emergency release of water, and that's why they're designed the way they are, so that they reduce the energy coming out. It's like a fog stream on a fire hose or a garden hose. And those valves really aren't designed to be used to regulate the water level. Used to be that the water level, when it went up, went over the spillways, and only in real dire emergencies, and I've been down on the dam for some of those when water's been going over the top, but the valves were open and then the gates were open.
Mm-hmm.
My background is in hydraulics, so I know about valves. I've talked to several other engineers that are dam engineers and told them the situation, and they said, well, it's foolish to be using those valves to control the lake.
And you're talking about the Howell Bunger valves at the bottom of the dam.
Right. And two of them said that they have always used gate valves, which are a lot cheaper, and a stilling pond, which you have or did have. When the thing was there, or you could probably use a smaller valve because a gate valve doesn't have the pressure loss that the Howell Bunger valves do, which would make the valves cheaper. And if you're worried about the velocity out the end of the valves, you can always put an expander, a plume, or something like that. But it's underwater anyway, but that would reduce the velocity pressure and save things. My big concern is a lot of the people up the lake are my constituents too. And I've heard numbers from 3 million to 4 million to replace this. And unless you get grants, you're going to have to bond this. And bonding over 20 years, you're looking at doubling your budget, which means their taxes go up by 100%. And I know if that happens, even though I'm not associated with the lake, I'm going to get complaints. And
sure.
It just bothers me. I know people want the... And the other thing is you cut down by 10 to 20%, because I don't know the geometry of the spillway. Sometime when I'm up there, I'd like to take some pictures and get the exact widths and the depths of the overflow. But by putting that 5-inch extension on the bottom of the gate, or 4/10 of an inch, that cut down the capacity by somewhere, depending on the configuration of the water going over, between 10 and 20%. So you cut down the spillway capacity to regulate the water by quite a bit.
And you say spillway capacity, or do you mean the gate? level.
The level, by raising the gate, you cut down the amount of water that can flow over that gate to drain the lake.
Okay.
So that means the level now is automatically 5 inches higher. And I don't know the what I heard was, and I couldn't really confirm this, that was put in so that some people at the ends of the lake, the water level was higher so they had better access to the docks. I don't know if that's the case or not.
No, not true.
No.
I don't think so. Although, again, I'm...
But again, that since that 5 inches is at the bottom, it's not a linear relationship. You know, I don't know how deep those notches are.
You talk about the spillway.
The spillway.
Spillway, yeah. I believe it's 25 feet. Isn't that right, Bob? That the spillway gates, when down, go down about 25 feet. So anything below 25 feet has to be managed by the other valves at the bottom.
That I understand.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is the space between the top of the gate and the top of the dam.
Okay.
There's 3 feet.
Okay, 3 feet. So again, by taking out 5 inches...
From the top of the spill gate, you would go over the dam at 3 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that 3 feet now, or is that 3 feet before the 5 inches was put in?
Did you hear that, Bob?
No.
Was that 3 feet now, or... I'm not aware of the 5 inches that Charlie's referring to, but were there 5 inches put...
Now, here's let me explain what happened. Back when they rebuilt the gates, they added, there was a rubber seal on the bottom of the gate. Nothing has ever been added to the top. There's a rubber seal at the bottom, and they replaced that with something else. And it raised the level of the lake about 3 inches.
Okay.
Higher than what it used to be.
Is that your concern, the 3 inches, or
it's just a combination of all the things that I feel as an engineer, and I don't reflect the town board, but as an engineer, I'm concerned when I think things are not being operated in the way that they were intended. Those valves are designed again in the literature for the emergency release of water. And I understand that in the fall you have to drop it further than the gates are. You know, and it doesn't hurt them, and they should be used at least once or twice a year just to make sure they work. But if they're being used every time there's a large amount of rain during the summertime when the water level's up to release the water, that's not good for the valves, and they're wearing out. And everybody I've talked to says that's not a good idea. And, you know, these are licensed professional engineers who do this for a living.
Couple things, and I appreciate, you know, your expertise here kind of helping us. One thing I'm aware of is that the spillway, the sluice, the spillway area itself, not the gates, but the area itself, which is concrete, which has shown remarkable wear, pitted to places, chunks of concrete along the floor of that spillway are up. And so there is a certain fear and trepidation about continuing to use that so much that that would wear down. It's on our list of projects to do, both the walls and the floor of that spillway. That's one issue.
I'll answer that question. It's a hell of a lot cheaper to repair that spillway.
Right.
You can pump concrete from up above, down, put concrete in there. There was a proposal once to line it with steel, which got rejected by a prior board. But it's a whole lot cheaper to do that than spend $2 or $3 million on replacing valves every 20 years.
But we do
The valves would have to be replaced regardless, or you would not be able to open up, fill the lake.
Part of the problem, of course, is that those valves, which were installed, I want to say 72 or 3, have really come near the end of their life, and need to be replaced. So, but you're worried about 20 years, 30 years.
I'm worried about 20 years.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
now,
yeah.
But that's my first concern.
Okay.
Of the total operation. My understanding from talking to the prior, RG&E people that used to run it, they drop the water level in the wintertime, they open up the gates, and the water was allowed to come up to the bottom of the gates. And that kept it, 25 feet below, that'd be, 1435?
1440 is full, so.
My math is
this morning. 25.
Whatever that is.
Roughly 20, 12, well, 1415, I guess,
yeah,
would be.
Okay. So that's, and then, sometime in the spring when the ice was off and whatever, and people could work on the docks, they closed the gates and the water level came up. Okay, that's one thing. The second problem is, that I'd like you to consider, is looking at different types of valves, which may be cheaper and smaller. And if cheaper and smaller means they're easier to install, you've got to rebuild the spilling pond anyway for frost protection and all kinds of...
And we have plans to do that.
Yeah. So doing that may reduce the cost of the project to where it may become manageable.
Okay, I'm hearing your statement. I don't know whether you've had a chance to talk to our engineer, Al Corwin.
No.
You talk with Al at all? He's a former Hatch and has had a lot of experience with the dam while he was working for Hatch, but also now is our consultant. And he was probably as informed about the things you're talking about as anybody, certainly around this table.
So, but I mean, maybe there are situations that I don't know about, but just looking at the broad picture and talking to other people who have had a lot of experience, that's what they're telling me.
Yeah.
I mean, I came up with the ideas and I ran it by these people. Mm-hmm. And one of the purposes of an engineer, a professional engineer, 25% of the professional engineer test is economics. And they tell you have to do this problem, you don't get a choice. Is to figure out the least expensive, effective method of solving the problem.
Sure.
And if you can change to a different type of valve and a smaller valve, that should reduce the cost of the project. Whether or not it's going to be manageable without, a 50% increase in...
Help me understand when you say smaller valve. Right now, the 54-inch penstocks...
54-inch, but there's because of the design of the valve, it's like the nozzle on a hose on Fox Stream. There's a lot of pressure drop across that, and not as much water can go through it. You may be able to go down to maybe a 36-inch gate valve to allow the same amount of water to go through. So somebody's going to have to look at the actual valves and the flow coefficients.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I suspect the engineers have looked at that, and again, I don't have a good response for you as to whether we have it. Had a conversation among ourselves about whether or not we ought to go from 54 to 36 or whatever. We are.
I can answer that. Yes.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
We have had extensive talks about that. It's not possible with the flow chart of the water coming in. The engineers have done studies for the 62 square miles. We actually have times when both gates and both 54-inch valves are open full and the water would go over the dam in a 50 or 100-year flood. And so the Army Corps engineers would not allow us to put those valves smaller. As far as the gate valve is concerned, which Karen's right, it would be cheaper, we investigated that. However, the problem with that if you use a gate valve, that would replace the butterfly valve. You would still have to put the Halbungers in, even with a gate valve. And the engineering studies came back, we can't use a gate valve because the head pressure is so great at our dam at 125 feet high. So the gate valve that you would have to buy would be so expensive that it would be cheaper to buy the Halbungers because of the head pressure. So that stuff has been looked at and studied both with our engineer and Hatch, our engineering firm, and you would have no hope of getting the Army Corps of Engineers to agree to cut down the size of that pipe. The other thing is the penstock, the pipe feeding it and going into the building would all have to be redone to a smaller size to fit that in there, and that cost would be very expensive.
What's the, how much water flows? 1,000 cubic feet a second per valve sticks in my mind, is that correct?
You mean at max? Max? Do you know what it is?
No, I don't know. I did, but it is, of course, it depends how far you open them. We control the flow, how much goes through there, but if both of them wide open, I would have to look it up. I can't tell you anymore. But it's way over 1,000. When we're letting just a small amount of water out, it was 500 CFM. So the two of them can raise it. They've actually come up with the studies. In a major storm, we have one of those 5-inch gully washers, 5 inches of rain. There's as much water running into Rushford Lake as flows over Niagara Falls in a day. That's a tremendous amount of water that we have to deal with.
Just the one point.
Go ahead, one more. Go ahead, Bob. Charlie.
As far as what I was talking about when I said going to a smaller gate valve, the smaller gate valve, and I don't know, maybe a 40-inch gate valve would pass as much water as that 54-inch Halbunger valve. And when you talk about pressure, that dam doesn't have any more pressure behind it than a city water system with gate
valves. Oh, much more.
No, it's a fact. It's 100.
It's the head crusher time.
I know it's 123 feet, which is about 55 psi, maybe.
We could get into the science of it here, but I don't think I want to do that.
Those are my concerns.
Okay.
And I know that as far as bonding, you're going to have to go to the town boards to do the bonding. And I have to be convinced that you're getting the most bang for your buck. Again, I can't speak for the other board members.
Okay.
They're very concerned. The only other statement I'd like to make, and I've heard this in some of the meetings, not anybody here, but I've heard people say, well, the town boards don't care about the lake. And that's not true. That's our greatest resource. And it's very, very important to me. And again, these people are my constituents too, and I don't want their taxes doubled.
Right. And I hear that, and I appreciate your concern. Thank you for your service on the board, and I realize that we are going to have to work with both of the town boards to try to move forward. We are limited as a municipality in what we can do. We, of course, been saying all along, a bond issue is the furthest thing down our list of things we want to do, and yet we do have some money in our pocket. It's not enough at this point, and we're trying to continue to get more. As I mentioned, we're going to be meeting with the Municipal Solutions, and there are some suggestions that we'll make there. But
if the Army Corps of Engineers dictates what you can do, why don't the feds have some role in this expense? I know I've heard the thing before, but it's like,
yeah,
it falls on a group of 1,500 homeowners when the federal government is dictating what you can and cannot do.
They only dictate, I don't think they dictate the type of valve that's in.
No,
they just
probably not. What's safe?
What you have to discharge. And again, I've been on there when water's been flowing over and the valves wouldn't handle it, and we opened the gate by 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that lowered the lake. And that may be, if it's a 25-year flood, I don't have the hydraulics of what's going on. But if it's a 25-year flood, that's what you plan for. And if the water level comes up, the valves don't handle it, that's when the gates are open.
We will take that into advisement. We appreciate your willingness to kind of sit through the meeting and have that point of view. Unless I see another hand going up real quickly, we're going to call for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
All right. Moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Aye.
All right. Bob, thank you. I'm going to disconnect you right here. I'll be calling you on, or somebody will be calling you on Monday-ish. Okay?
10 o'clock.
Now it'd be closer to 11. Okay, bye-bye.